ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning we're continuing our prophecy update because on New Year's Eve we had the snowstorm. So we're actually in part 262. No, we're in part 3. Of our prophecy update. I've called it the event horizon. And the event horizon is the place by a black hole where nothing can escape, not even light, from being drawn into the black hole. It's kind of the point of no return. And what we see happening as we look at the events that are taking place is that the world is being drawn into this black hole, and there's no way out except through Jesus Christ. And as you look at what's happening in the world, you see Bible prophecy happening at a rapid rate today. All's moving towards the rapture of the church and the start of the seven-year tribulation period. You know, when I got saved some 35 years ago or so, prophecy was out there, but it just wasn't happening like it is today. Today, you turn on the news, you go, wow, look, this is just exactly what the Bible is saying. So it's pretty exciting stuff. You know, we saw in part one of our study that there's a push for a one-world government. Again, 35 years ago, people laughed at me when I talked about this. Oh, there's coming together of a global government. Hey, you're crazy. That's never going to happen. We'll never get that together. Now, there's a huge push for this. And the only thing that's really slowed it down today, and just a little bit, is the United States because of the election of President Donald Trump. He's not a globalist. But Democrat, Republicans, for the most part, are globalists. But he slowed things down. But make no mistake about it, we're going to have a global government. Not because I said so, not because the globalists want one, but God has told us in his word that this is what's going to take place in the last days. And, you know, we think of a global government as, you know, it's going to be, everything is going to be hunky-dory, but understand who's going to rule this, and it's men. And the heart of man is wicked. And in the days of Hitler, people had places to run from him, right? They had countries to go to flee from what he was doing. But in one world government, where all the world is united together, where are you going to go? Interesting. Richard A. Falk penned a profound foresight on our day, and this is back in 1975. He wrote an article entitled Toward a New World Order, Modest Methods and Drastic Visions. And in the book on the creation of a just world order, this is what he wrote. The existing order is breaking down at a very rapid rate, and the main uncertainty is whether mankind can exert a positive role in shaping a new world order or is doomed to await collapse in a passive posture. We believe a new order will be born no later than early in the next century, and that the death throes of the old and birth pangs of the new will be a testing time for the human species. It's kind of interesting. Back in 1975, they were talking about this, but people just weren't listening for the most part, the common people. You know, the guys who are behind the scenes pushing for this, they were definitely into it. And, you know, some of you may be thinking, yeah, but we're a sovereign nation. Our Constitution will never allow us to be part of a one-world government. Well, over the years, we've seen the erosion of our Constitution, and I truly believe in the end, we're going to have a new one written so that we can be part of the global community. And, you know, you look at our government today and see how horrible it is, right? That its effectiveness is terrible. That, you know, if we acted that way as kids, our parents would send us to our rooms, right? But these are leaders, and they can't even get along. And as leaders that are elected, who are they elected for? Their political party? No, they are elected by us to represent us. And we don't see that happening. And I think people are going to get so fed up, they're going to say, we got to do something different. We got to have something new. And the new constitution will be enacted. Richard N. Gardner, who was former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for International Organizations under Kennedy and Johnson, a member of the Trilateral Commission, he wrote in the April 1974 issue of Foreign Affairs. And, you know, if you're trying to write this down, don't. I'll have all this on the internet. It'll be up later today. All my notes will be on there. You don't have to listen to me, but you can copy the notes. It's just be easier. But this is what he wrote. In short, the House of World Order will have to be built from the bottom up rather than from the top down. It will look like a great booming, buzzing confusion, to use William James' famous description of reality, but an end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, will accomplish much more than the old-fashioned frontal assault. I think that's already been done, the end around. Now it's a frontal assault. Now we hear of globalism, and for globalism to work, you need socialism to work in a nation, and that's what the push is. You listen to the Pope, you listen to what he's saying. The United States needs to be a socialistic entity. They need to be part of the global community. Well, you're a religious entity. What are you telling us what we need to do? But he is. Now, how in the world can the government control all the people? Some 7 billion plus people, right? How can they do it? We talked about this artificial intelligence, and the governments of the world understand that that's what's needed to keep everyone in line with them. According to Amir bin Sultan Al Alma, this is what he said. He spoke at a technology event, and he said, whether we consider AI, or artificial intelligence, the tool to achieve a utopian dream where superior intelligence rids the planet of all ills, or a dystopian reality where we are at war with robots, there's no debating that governments and private enterprises needs to come together and engage in meaningful dialogue about a future where man and machine must coexist in harmony and use this rapidly transmuting technology to create a better world for those that will inherit it. Absolutely. We see all this coming together, and it's coming together quickly, and we talked about this. Artificial intelligence, we're using technology that is unbelievable today. China has cameras all over the place, but not only China. We looked at I believe it was London, where they were able to do facial recognition from, I think it was 3 soccer fields away with a camera and track a guy wherever he was going. Now China has set up millions of these cameras, and they're tracking. The technology is there. And you think, well, where do you see artificial intelligence in the Bible? Well, I think in Revelation. I think this is what it's talking about. In Revelation 13, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. The false prophet, the religious figure here, gives life to this image of the beast. And I think, and I could be wrong, but I think it's artificial intelligence. And if you refuse to worship this image, you're going to be killed. Technology, I think, has caught up to that, what the Bible has talked about. And again, technology is not evil. Technology is not bad. It's just man is evil. And he uses what's really good for evil things. And it's all coming together. I believe global government working together with artificial intelligence to control everything. You doubt that? Have you ever put pictures on Facebook and then all of a sudden it tells you who those people are by name? Pretty amazing. All that information is there. Have you sent DNA information to get your DNA checked? That's in a database. All that information is out there. Again, not evil or bad. It's what it's used for. There's the problem. Now, last time we talked about the church. And we saw how the church is compromising their faith to unify with the religions of the world and ultimately a one-world church, a one-world religion. And I personally, we see Protestants coming together with the Roman Catholic Church. I see the Pope could very well be the false prophet, maybe not down the road. I'm not saying this Pope, but someone who has a lot of power over the religions of the world, and the Pope does, wow, uniting the Protestant Church. Who would have thought that, right? Who would have thought? But we see it happening. Look at how this all fits together. Robert Mueller, former Assistant Secretary General at the UN, understood that the ultimate goal of internationalists around the globe is a totally implemented world governing system, an organization designed to supersede any national government and demand that all nations surrender their sovereignty and submit to international laws and regulations. Mr. Mueller also knew that for this dream to become a reality, all religions must somehow ignore their differences, unify and pledge their allegiances to the establishment of the global community. When this happens, and according to Bible prophecy, it will, in the very near future, those who choose not to conform will be considered heretics and possibly even pay for it with their lives. Look at how we have the religion working with the government, and then you have artificial intelligence. Do we see it today? Absolutely. And again, I'm not doing this to scare you. To me, it's very exciting. This is what God talked about. In fact, in Isaiah, God says, I've told you these things not so to make you scared or afraid, but to be witnesses of me. You see, we know what's happened. And what happens today in churches across America is we are working to promote a political entity, a political party, because they are going to save our nation. I'll tell you what. There's only one who's going to save our nation, and that's Jesus. I'm sorry. You could spend all the billions of dollars you want, but why don't you take that money and use it to spread the gospel message in this nation that's dying? You want to know what's going to happen to America? Go look and see what's happening in Europe, where mosques are being set up in churches that have died. That's what's coming here. Unless we start bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people of this nation. We used to send missionaries out. Now we need missionaries to come in. Because we've lost sight of what the gospel is all about. We need to be careful. In fact, like I said last time, we need to take heed that we don't fall. We need to be aware of the things that are happening. Be warned. Be aware. So many Christians just want to bury their head in the sand. Everything is fine. It's not. It's never been fine in the world. There's always been problems in the world. But we have the good news that can save people, that can change their lives. And I'll tell you, look at all the programs that have been out there to try and help people. And they keep changing. It's almost like a diet program. You know, you know how it is in the grocery store. Every week there's a new diet magazine out there. New diet for this. You got a diet for this. You know what? Same is true for our lives. All these programs. But there's one who can change it. And he is a wonderful counselor. And his name is Jesus. And he's told us everything we need right here. People go, I don't hear from God anymore. You know my response? Open up your Bible and read out loud. And then you'll hear from God. Because he's speaking to us through his word. That's what we need. And thus, as God speaks to us, we go out and we share that good news with others. It's a wonderful thing. But the church today has lost sight of what they believe. And that's why I see the Protestant church uniting with the Roman Catholic church. Understand, two different gospels. The Roman Catholic church is a salvation with Jesus, but then you have to add good works. And you still don't make it to heaven. You got to go to purgatory to atone for your sins there. But the Bible tells us that Jesus paid all of our sins in full, every single one of them, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. What a wonderful gift he's given to us. And if you add, you can check this out, but add anything to grace, add works to grace, just one work to grace, and is it still grace? No, grace is unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. So if I add works, anything, one work to grace, it's no longer grace. Now God owes me something because this is what I did for him. God owes me nothing. In fact, I deserve hell. But because of his grace and mercy that he's extended to me, he gives me heaven to spend eternity with him. Wow. Take heed that you do not fall. Well, this morning, if I don't get moving here, we'll be in part four next week, but we will. We'll get through this. Again, signs are everywhere. And we know that the tribulation period starts the beginning of sorrows, according to what Jesus said in Matthew 24, the beginning of birth pains that will increase in intensity and frequency until we get to the birth of the kingdom age when Jesus returns. And I believe we are in a period of time that, you know, being a nurse, sorry, I'll use this, but the Braxton Hicks period of time, or the pre-labor contractions. This is what happens before a woman goes into labor. Sometimes she gets these little contractions that are just preparing her for real labor. And she may think that this is labor, but she'll know when labor comes, right? I know my wife did. We are in this period of time where we're seeing some of the events that Jesus spoke about coming to pass. But this is not the tribulation period. This is not the beginning of sorrows. When that labor starts, it will continue on until the birth of the kingdom age. Jesus put it like this in Matthew 24. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. I want to focus on a few of these because I think they're important. We're starting to see them increase in our day. And again, I believe that some of these events could add to the chaos that usher in the global government and this artificial intelligence and the Antichrist. So I want to look at earthquakes and volcanoes because they're kind of go together. And one article said, fears are mounting that the catastrophic big one earthquake could rip through California, killing thousands after 70 quakes rocked the deadly ring of fire in just 48 hours. A cluster of 16 significant quakes above the magnitude of 4.5 hit yesterday, following 53 that shook the region along the disaster zone on Sunday. The earthquakes rattled Indonesia, Bolivia, Japan, Fiji, but didn't reach the western coast of the United States, which sits on the horseshoe-shaped ring of fire fault line. The Ring of Fire has caused a number of devastating earthquakes over the years and is where two of the Earth's huge tectonic plates meet. It's a string of 452 volcanoes and sites of high seismic activity that encircle the Pacific Ocean. Fears are now growing that California's big one could be on the way, a 9.0 magnitude earthquake that would tear through the West Coast and cause a tsunami. Experts have claimed California is overdue for a large earthquake, and that shaking around the Ring of Fire could be a warning. Several magnitude 7 quakes have struck the state in the last century, with the most deadly coming in San Francisco in 1906, where 3,000 were killed. Richard Astor, professor of geophysics at Colorado State University, recently wrote, "The earthquake situation in California is actually more dire than people who aren't seismologists like myself may realize. Although many Californians can recount experiencing an earthquake, most have never personally experienced a strong one. For major events with magnitudes of 7 or greater, California is actually in an earthquake drought. The recent tremors were recorded by the United States Geological Survey, which revealed that Fiji was worst hit, with 5 earthquakes above magnitude 4.5 since Monday morning. An 8.2 magnitude earthquake also struck in the Pacific Ocean, close to Fiji and Tonga, on Sunday, but was too deep to cause significant damage. On Tuesday night, Venezuela and Trinidad were smashed by a 7.3 quake and tore restaurants apart, littered cars with debris and bricks. Director Apete Soro told Reuters, "We are monitoring the situation and some places felt it, but it was a very deep earthquake." So these things are happening in intensity, in frequency. I'm going to show you a video that kind of talks about this. But you know, you watch the news and you hear about these things. And think about California. It's more populated now than it was in the early 1900s, isn't it? And you get a 9.0 earthquake in California, it's going to be devastating. But the earth is moving. And you look at the Ring of Fire, look at where these earthquakes and these volcanoes are erupting. It's right along that rim, just like it should be. You got these tectonic plates moving, and things are going to heat up. You're going to get more earthquakes and more volcanoes.
It's been quite an active week along the Ring of Fire, the geologically rambunctious region that follows the 25,000-mile perimeter of the Pacific Ocean and is home to 90% of the world's earthquakes. Mount Mayon, the most active volcano in the Philippines, was busy squirting lava half a mile into the air Wednesday, alongside volcanic gas and ash. More than 56,000 residents in the central province of Albay have fled their homes since the volcano began a slow eruption on January 13th. And volcanologists are worried that larger eruptions may still be on the way. The Philippine Institute of Volcanology and Seismology updated its threat level to 4 this week, meaning that a hazardous eruption is imminent. Once a major eruption starts, the threat level will be raised to 5. Tuesday also saw the eruption of Mount Kusatsushiran, 100 miles northwest of Tokyo, which killed one soldier in an avalanche and injured a dozen at a ski resort. And further south, Indonesia's Mount Agung, which has been spewing ash since November, hit 4 distinct eruptions. But wait, we haven't even gotten to the earthquakes this week. A magnitude 6.1 earthquake rumbled 100 miles southwest of Jakarta, Indonesia, on Tuesday. And across the ocean, a magnitude 7.9 earthquake struck Tuesday morning off the coast of Alaska. A tsunami warning was issued, and subsequently cancelled, for the entire west coast of the U.S. Can all these events be related? The short answer is yes, earthquakes and volcanoes can interact, said Emily Brodsky, a professor of Earth and Planetary Sciences at the University of California, Santa Cruz. But she noted it's too early to connect the dots between all the activity we have seen this week, and it's hard to say how much one event has influenced another. Philippine researchers are already saying that the tremors and eruptions this week aren't connected to one another because they happened so far apart. Brodsky added that having multiple earthquakes and eruptions at the same time is not unusual, especially in a region that is so notoriously feisty. However, earthquakes and volcanic eruptions are often clustered, she said. A volcanic eruption can cause tremors, while a large tremor can rattle a magma chamber underneath the volcano, causing towers of ash and rivers of lava to gush forth. The Pyaquid? Angkong volcano in Chile erupted in 1960 just 38 hours after a magnitude 9.6 earthquake, for example. This is because large tracts of the Earth's crust called tectonic plates are constantly running into each other, sliding past each other, or rolling on top of each other. These movements can cause pressure to build up and dissipate in the form of earthquakes, or can create fissures that allow magma to reach the Earth's surface. Scientists are starting to get a handle on how big geologic events influence each other, stitching together measurements of how an eruption in one part of the world can lead to tremors in another. One of the things that is helping us grapple is our vastly improved global instrumentation, Brodsky said. Many countries, particularly in earthquake-prone regions, have been deploying networks of seismic sensors to gain a better understanding of movements of the ground. The ultimate goal is to get ahead of these events so that the next time the ground shakes or a volcano growls, people won't be caught off guard and lives can potentially be saved. But that will require use of monitoring the Earth with detailed measurements in some of the most remote places, like the bottom of the ocean, to build a baseline. It may be years before scientists can develop an early warning system.
So again, just watch the news. We see an increase in the magnitude and the frequency of earthquakes. And again, it's not to scare you, but just to make you aware that this is some of the things that Jesus talked about. And understand, for this whole global community, they look for chaos in any form. It could be, you know, pestilence, it could be earthquakes, it could be financial problems, it could be, you know, civil problems where, you know, one group are fighting against another. They're looking for things to happen where they can institute this global government. So we see this stuff happening. But there's also something else, and I thought that was a cool picture, so that's why I'm showing that one. But there's something else. The earth is starting to shake. It's interesting because in Isaiah 24, 19 through 20, it says, the earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall toddle like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. Isaiah is speaking about what's going to happen, that the earth is going to wobble like a drunken sailor or stagger like someone who's drunk. You think, well, what can cause that? What's the issue here? What's going on?
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.